The reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 to 24, Treasures in Heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money.
Good morning, everyone. It's really great to be here and continue our series today in Matthew's Gospel. We've been reading right through the famous Sermon on the Mount, haven't we? And it's great to be continuing today and these challenges words from Jesus. I just wanted to do a little bit of a recap before we dive into these verses that Ruth has just read for us, just to remind us where we're coming from and where we've got to in this most amazing sermon ever preached. Here on the earth. We started off at the beginning of the sermon, three months ago now, at the beginning of September. We went through the Beatitudes, didn't we? And we talked about Jesus declared blessings over the people who were hearing to him, and then reminded us all that we are all salt and light in our community. So as his followers here this morning, we're all called to shine so that other people may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. We then studied a whole section in chapter 5 about Jesus versus the law. Jesus reminding us how he wants us to live. He said, I've not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And he unpacked the law through chapter 5 with practical examples of how God wants us not just to keep the letter of the law, but to go beyond it. For example, not just to avoid murdering people, but to avoid anger. Not just to avoid adultery, but to avoid lust and so on. And God is really interested not just in our outward actions, but our inner life and the purity of our emotions. And the section closes with this really daunting challenge: be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And then we came recently into chapter 6. Jesus continued that focus on our inner lives as compared to outer lives, not just appearances. We studied how Jesus wants us to give and to pray and to fast, but not just so others can see how great we are, but so that our Father, who sees what we do in secret, can reward us. It's a real challenge, isn't it? For us not to bother about what other people think about us, but to focus primarily on pleasing God with our lives. So today we're in the second half of chapter 6, and Jesus is continuing to challenge us with this sermon. He's challenging us now in another dimension. He's not talking about the difference between private and public life. He's now talking about the difference between the focus here on the earth, or the temporary dimension, and the focus on heaven, or the eternal dimension. And over the coming weeks, we're going to be finishing chapter 6. And the big theme here is about our possessions, our material needs, and our money. And as I was reading through chapter 6, preparing, it really struck me that these challenges in chapter 6 require us to have faith in God. If no one sees you praying, fasting, and giving, it's a private thing between you and God, then by faith you are believing that your Heavenly Father sees and hears what you're doing. And to apply Jesus' teaching today about treasure, about money, also requires us to have faith that our Heavenly Father knows what we need and we can trust him. As it says in one of the verses we're going to be reading later, your Heavenly Father knows what you need. So in this passage for today, we basically have three challenges. The challenges are about our priorities. Are we storing up treasure in heaven, or are we storing up treasure here on the earth? Are we looking at the world with eyes that are good and healthy and generous? And are we seeking to look with God's perspective on the possessions and needs of others? Or are we looking with unhealthy eyes that don't match God's perspective? And who are we serving? Who do we really love? Are we serving God, or do we serve money? So there are three clear choices set before us today in these verses, and these challenge us in our priorities relating to money and possessions. So let's start with the first three verses in Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Jesus starts with a really radical comment. Do not store up treasure on earth. Have you ever thought about that verse? What does it actually mean? What's he actually saying? Is it okay to have money, to invest, to save, to buy and own houses? If you look at the life of Jesus, he actually applied these verses really literally. He had really very little, virtually nothing. He had no home, no wife, no children. He had no source of income except for people giving money to him. And some of the early disciples also followed this radical teaching very literally. Gave away everything they owned and followed Jesus. And as I was reading it, it reminds me of a time in my life when I was in my 20s, a bit younger than I am today, when I tried to apply this verse in my life. And I actually, quite a long time ago, I won't tell you how many years ago it was, I basically gave away all my stuff. I sold my car, gave away all my money I had in the bank, riding around on a bicycle. And then I left my job here in Crewe, and I decided to work for a charity overseas to serve the poor. And some people are called to actually follow this verse literally. And there's a great deal of blessing in this sort of self-denial or sacrifice. All I can say for me, that period in my life when I was living a single-minded, focused life without any possessions, it was one of the most wonderful and liberating experiences that I've ever had. And very often possessions weigh us down in this life, don't they? They cause us a lot of burdens and troubles. But I also made a lot of big mistakes in this time as well. Some of you perhaps knew me at the time. I was so zealous that sometimes I made other people feel bad or uncomfortable about having stuff. And that's not what God wants us to do. He doesn't want to judge other people or make judgment about whether it's okay or not to have money or possessions. Jesus does not ask us to judge or condemn anyone else for the choices they make. He speaks to us personally and asks us to follow him. So I believe when you read the whole Bible, you can't conclude that there's a general command to all Christians to give away all your money and to have nothing at all. There are plenty of places in the Bible, if you read through it, where God speaks about blessing. He wants to bless us also. There are plenty of examples of godly people in the Bible who had riches and resources and used them to build God's kingdom. And they're not condemned for that, on the contrary. So Jesus is clearly talking in these verses about what we value, our priorities, what we really treasure, what we really love, what we give importance to in our lives. So the first thing he says is we should not store up treasures on earth. Why should we not store up treasures on earth? Have you thought about this one? Well, firstly, I think if you've got a lot of stuff, it takes your focus away from serving God. Paul gives some really good advice in the epistle to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 10. And if we read the first two verses, it says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Paul is saying here, we're born with nothing. We can take nothing with us when we die. We're just passing through this life. And we need to be content with what we have. And then he carries on and he says, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." He's reminding us here that people who set that as their objective in life, to get rich, very often end up in all sorts of trouble. And you don't need to look far out there in the world to see what happens to people who just seek riches above everything else. Money itself is not evil. That's not what this verse says. But the love of money can lead us into all sorts of sin and compromise in our lives. People seeking after money very often get pulled away from their faith. And the second reason, in the verses we read today, why we shouldn't really be storing up treasures on earth, is what Jesus said. The stuff that we have in this life is just temporary, isn't it? We all know as we get older, it doesn't last. We can easily lose it. Moths and rust decay things we thought were precious. You leave them for a while and then they're no longer so great anymore. Thieves can break in and steal. Everything we own, all of our money and possessions, are just short-lived and we can lose them in a heartbeat. And you only have to look at the news to see some situations where people are facing, in the Ukraine, for example, where they've lost everything. It can happen in a moment. So Jesus said, don't store up treasure on the earth, but store up treasure in heaven. So what does that actually mean, to have treasure in heaven, and how can we do it? That's the big challenge for us today. I think we all understand treasure on earth. You know, you can walk into the banking crew, you can take your money in, you can see it, you can hand the money over to somebody, you get a bank statement. You know, it's very physical, it's very tangible, isn't it, money on earth, treasure on earth. But what about this far better investment that Jesus asks us to make, to have treasure in heaven? How on earth do we do it? You can't walk into a bank and make an investment for treasure in heaven, can you? I believe that this treasure in heaven is something that's something we can benefit from in the future. We maybe can't actually see it and touch it now, but it is an eternal treasure that cannot be corrupted, it cannot decay, and it's much more valuable than anything you have here on the earth. And it requires you to have a lot of faith, which is why I was talking about faith earlier. So how can you make a deposit in this bank? If you think that's what you want to do today, you want to make a deposit in a much better bank than that one in Crewe. It's not actually Lloyds Bank Crewe, but a much better bank. How can you do that? Well, if we go back to 1 Timothy, we find a very interesting set of verses which talk about how to make a deposit in this treasure. It says, "Command those who are rich in this present world," and perhaps you look around yourself today and say, "I'm not rich," but all of us are here today, we're clothed, you know, and we're compared to many people in the world. I think we fall into that category. "Those who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life." Paul gives us five keys to investing in this heavenly bank. Firstly, put our hope in God. Secondly, to do good. Thirdly, to be rich in good deeds. And then to be generous and to be willing to share. Effectively, if I understand this verse correctly, and there are other verses that say a similar thing in the Bible, if you're generous with what God has given to you and you share it with others, God considers that as a deposit in his bank, a treasure that you will receive in the coming age, the future. And actually, when you give away stuff, I think there's always a triple blessing. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. When you give, there's great blessing you have straight away, that sense of knowing you're doing something that God wants you to do. Secondly, God promises to actually recompense you even in this life. I always think that, you know, if God wants to give money to somebody here, say Jeff and Georgette for their project, and he finds somebody in the church here who's obedient, who receives money and then passes it on, I'm sure that person will be getting some more. And the person who ignores the prompting of the Holy Spirit will probably not get any more. God does recompense us in this life for the giving that we make. But ultimately, we have this third blessing, which is treasure in heaven. And I really believe if we follow God's rules of accounting, you'll do much better than following human advice. And we'll find out in the future how great that is. So let's consider this challenge from Jesus to lay up treasure in heaven through generosity, through being ready to share what we have with others. And not to put, not to just have treasure on earth or put our hope in wealth, as Paul puts it. So let's move on to the second section of these verses in Matthew. The eye is the lamp of the body. Suddenly he starts talking about the eye. We'll explore that in a minute. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus suggests here that we have eyes and they are like a lamp to our body. If you go into Luke chapter 11, it's interesting. This verse is right next to where it talks us being the light of the world. So we as Christians are called to be a light in our community, but also our eyes are the lamp for our body, for our inner life. There's an outer and an inner dimension to light. And Jesus says, if our eyes are good or healthy, our body will be full of light, like on the left. If our eyes are bad or unhealthy, our whole body will be full of darkness. If our eyes are a lamp, in other words, light enters our body through our eyes or what we see. So it's really important for us to consider, what do we look at with our eyes? How do we look at other things in the way that God would like us to? So do we look at other things with lust or desire? We can have a lot of problems caused by our eyes, by seeing something we want, but we can't have it. Do we envy something that someone else hasn't got? We often do that with our eyes. And Jesus is challenging us to have pure eyes that look at other things, other people, as God would like us to look at us. And according to what our eyes are like, our whole life will be affected. So the state of our eye will affect the whole of our inner life. I've got to be honest, I struggled with these verses when I was studying them, and I've never really understood them. Why in the middle of this stuff about money, treasures, and then God and money at the end, does Jesus sandwich in this bit about the eyes? But when I looked up the words in here, it seems that the word for healthy or good is very close in the original language to the thought of being generous. So you could also understand this eye as being a godly or generous eye, as opposed to a mean or a stingy eye. And Jesus challenges when we look at needs in the world to look at them with generosity, with God's eyes, his compassion and his generosity, just as God would look at them as well. So let's ask God to make our eyes the way he'd like them to be. Not to look with desire on what other people have got, your neighbour's car or whatever. And to look at the needs of others with kindness and compassion and generosity. And to allow healthy things to enter in our eyes so that it will have lived pure lives as we choose what we're going to look at each day. So we move to the last verse, Matthew 6 and 24. And Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is a pretty strong statement, isn't it? We have to choose our master. We can choose to serve money, which Jesus says means we are devoted to it, we love it, and in that case we will not serve God. In fact, it's like we hate and despise God. Or we can choose to serve God. In which case we love God, we are devoted to him, and we will not serve money. In fact, we will hate and despise money. Jesus puts this in the strongest of terms, that I cannot choose to love and serve and be devoted to both. I have to pick one as my priority. A while ago, a friend of mine advised me to buy this magazine. It's called Money Week. I don't know if any of you have ever tried reading Money Week. It's a magazine for investors and people who want to find out about pensions and money and how you can make more money. And I read a few copies of it. It's all about how to save and invest and be richer. And on the front page, it's got this little mantra. You see at the top left there, make it, keep it, spend it. That just about sums up the view of this world to money. Make it, keep it, spend it. And I was thinking in one way, that sort of sums up the view of our society today to money. But Jesus perhaps would have given us something a little bit different. I think if Jesus had been writing a magazine like this, he would have said something the opposite. He'd have said, use it. You know, it's not bad to have money, but we're not only meant to make it, we're meant to use it for his kingdom. We live in this world, money's part of our lives, and money can be used for a lot of good. Give it, don't keep it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And share it, don't just spend it on yourself. Consider the needs of others when you're using your money. So as we close this morning, we do have here today an awesome privilege, don't we, to follow Jesus Christ. He set us an example in his life and his teaching that really profoundly challenges us in our lives. And he gives us three challenges. First of all, am I storing up treasure in heaven rather than here on earth? Are my eyes good, healthy, and generous? Do I look at with God's perspective on this world and others? And who am I serving? Who do I really love? Who am I devoted to? Am I devoted to God or am I devoted to money? We're all a work in progress, aren't we? I don't think Jesus ever expected anyone to arrive straight away. And we've all come a long way and we've all got a long way to go. But let's just ask God to help us to continue to be more like Jesus and follow his teaching and example in our lives and to choose these good priorities. So I'd like to pray for us now that God would help us to follow what he's saying to us in these verses. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your teaching, which challenges us profoundly in terms of how we live our lives. We thank you for your example, which is really visible and perfect for us to follow and see in the Bible. And we thank you for your words, Lord, which continue to challenge us through our lives. We ask you, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that to each of us today, you've said something slightly different. And I thank you, Lord, that you want us all to follow you more closely. Help us not to judge others or to look at others and condemn what they do, but to think about what you're saying to us this morning. And I pray you'll continue to fill us up with your Holy Spirit and give us your strength and your help to be able to follow your words more closely. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, thanks everyone.
Thanks, Andy. Really helpful. And I don't know about you, but one of the things that kept coming through to me in what Andy was saying is that we have choices. A choice about whether we're going to do this or that or the other. And Andy talked about those three different areas where we're called to make choices. And that it's a choice for each one of us as individuals to make. So let's continue to reflect on those challenging words of Jesus that Andy has opened up for us. And just think about what choices we are going to make in the way in which we live our lives. I'll leave you to think about that for a moment. I'm going to get the others back in because Heather's going to lead us in one last song.